Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So I want to get your attention on the screen right up here. Let's go here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Be Anxious for Nothing. Be Anxious for Nothing. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. Are you ready? Let's go. Praise God. Verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Verse 2. I implore Yodia and I implore Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Wow. Look at that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and the minds through Christ Jesus. And in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Wow. Wow. That's a whole lot there to chew on tonight. But I truly believe that God has a word for us through it all. So let's go back and start with verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, long for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Wow, saints of God. Wow. You see, because of these amazing and certain promises, the believers in Philippi ought to stay true to the Lord, standing against false teaching or divisiveness from within and persecution from without. And so we see here where Paul also wrote to the 1 Corinthians. Let's go right here to the Corinthians right here. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. He admonishes them no differently. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. And that is the key. That is the key to have things done through love. And then he also wrote to the Thessalonian church right here in 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 to 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? It is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Look at this. For you are our glory and joy. You see, one of the things that Paul understood and one of the things that he rejoiced in was when God sent him to establish a fellowship, a church, and then to get reports back later on that it's thriving, that it's growing, and that many souls are being saved. That's when he saw that that was what it was all about, the grace of God. You know, it's God's multiplication. And that's what took place. Paul, he was an overcomer of so many obstacles in his life. And yet, he obeyed the voice of God. He continued. He continued with the gospel. Saints, Paul referred to the Philippians as his joy and reward. proof that his labor had not been in vain whatsoever. This congregation was dear to his heart. His words to them were of vital importance, for he cared about their way and every part of their being, their souls. He cared for them and how he longed to see them again. But during this time of his imprisonment, saints of God, the yearning words of his letter, carried to them by a mutual friend, would have to suffice. In other words, he had to roll with it. He was in prison. And why was he in prison? It's not that he committed any crime. He did not commit murder. He didn't do anything illegal. All he did was preach the gospel. And let me just say this, my friends. That's how this society is right now. This whole nation of ours is divided in half. Some will stand with the conservative and the right point of view, and then the other, the left, the progressive left, woke generation that wants to destroy everything that God has instituted in our nation as a remembrance of his grace and the remembrance of who he is in our life. When you take God out of our public arena, when you remove him from the school throughout the United States, Jesus is not spoken of anymore. All the way from kindergarten to 12th grade, and all the colleges are now secular, the majority of them. There are some conservative ones, but no longer are there colleges that you can send your child and hope that they don't come back an atheist. And so let's move on to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. Let's go there. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, Paul not only warned the Philippian church of doctrinal errors, he also addressed some relational problems. Two women, Euodia and Syntyche, had been workers for Christ in the church and perhaps as deacons. Their broken relationship was no small matter. Many had become believers through their efforts, but their quarrel was causing dissension in the church. Let me just say this, saints of God. In the 33 years of ministry, I have seen that happen in our modern day and time. I've seen it happen in the church I came from. I saw it happening in the same church that I'm pastoring. What people need to do is humble themselves. And the Bible says, when you humble yourself before the Lord, then he will exalt you. Listen, sometimes you can be so right about certain matters in life, trying to get your point across, that you want to be so right, you become so wrong, meaning you lost them. You lost them. And they walk away discouraged. Saints, we have to have that heart like Christ. Were the only ones that he rebuked ever that we saw in Scripture were the religious folks. But saints, we're not religious. We have a relationship with Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? And so, saints, we do not know the reason for the disagreement, but Paul pled with them to settle it. He expected them to work it out themselves. The unity of the church was to be their highest concern. Praise God. Praise God. Look what he wrote to the Roman church right up here. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Look at verse 17. Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Are you catching this tonight, saints of God? Praise God. Praise God. God wants harmony and unity in his church. Remember, it's his church. It's not my church. It's not nobody else. It's God's church. And we are to come together in the unity of the faith. Love one another. Help one another. Not backbite. Not gossip. But help. Many are in dire need of help. They need to be strengthened in their faith. Some of them are going through some financial woes. Some people are going through some woes in their physical body. But I'm here to let you know, if you're watching right now, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. Oh, that's right. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the one that sets us free. Jesus is the one that heals our body when we're sick. And all He expects us to do is cry out. Cry out to Him. Never be ashamed to cry out in front of your spouse, your children, your friends. Let me ask this question. Does your friends on your job or in your school know that you're born again and you are a true believer, follower of Christ? Well, maybe it's time to let them know, because I truly believe time is running out. So let's move on, saints, to verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Are you catching this, saints? With Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the what? Book of life. Wow. Wow. Paul went there with this. Saints, the book of life. That's those who have been truly born again. They have repented of their sins. In other words, they've turned their back on their sinful ways, on the way of the world, the way they were following the culture of their time. No different than you and I. We have to set aside and lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. But the born-again believer, their name's written in the book of life. Saints, the identity of this true teammate remains a mystery when he's talking about these in Scripture. The reference may have been obvious to the Philippian believers. Praise God. Paul knew that he could count on this man to help these women work out their disagreement, and so that they could once again fellowship with one another and be good examples in the church. Let me just say this. One of the most hurtful things that takes place in fellowships and churches is when one will offend the other and there is no reconciliation. There's no apology. Let me just say this. Even the one that got offended, there's wisdom in that. There's true understanding of that. And instead of getting huffy and puffy and backbiting, just go to that person and tell them how you feel. And just say, hey, I didn't receive that very well, but you know what? I'm willing to just let this go. Are you willing to do that with me? It's as simple as that. Talk it out. Work it out. See, the world wants to step on your neck and call you every foul and vicious name and the ungodly, their vocabulary, their dictionary. But we need to be good examples. You and I are called to be examples, saints of God. You see, Euodia and Syntyche had worked hard with Paul in telling others the good news. And many of the churches, Paul visited them, were key players, but women played a key role in founding the churches in Macedonia. Oh, yes, they were. Look at this right here. I'm going to show you this scripture right here. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at it in Acts chapter 2. Look at this. Actually, it's Acts 16, 14 through 15. Look what it reads. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house. Come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. This lady was excited that she got saved. Now look at this in Acts 16:40. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. These saints were something else. back then. They truly had a heart and a sensitivity toward the things of God. And we need to have that no differently in the time that we live in. Listen, they didn't have the internet. They didn't understand what woke culture is, left-wing progressive. They never knew also of conservatism. All these things that we are facing with, the technology of the day, we can see things around the world instantaneously. They didn't have that. So all they had was basically each other to communicate, to love, to share, to grow together. And Paul, he implored them. This is why he said, Clement, go down there and see if you can make it right. And so, saints of God, they went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Praise God. Saints, at Philippi, women were the first to hear the gospel. Praise God. And Lydia was the first convert. Those who were among the first to understand the gospel would be asked to teach. Praise God. Thus, Euodia and Syntyche were to take an active part in the teaching. That's right, in the teaching. Their quarrel was highly visible and threatened to disrupt the unity of the church. But God frowns on that kind of behavior. We are to walk together. We are to relate to one another. We are to bless one another and more and more so pray for one another. Why? Because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Can I get an amen in the house? And so, my friends, this intermediary was asked to help. Praise God, praise God. And the mention of the women's help reminded Paul of Clement and other co-workers who had also labored along with Paul. And while the names of the rest of the co-workers are not listed, we can be sure, saints of God, that each person's name is in the book of life that had been born again. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? You see, the names of all believers are registered there. That's right. Even in the Old Testament, this referred to a register of God's covenant people. Praise God, praise God. Oh yes, look at this. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. Let's go there to Exodus. Look at that. Exodus 32:32-33. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Wow. My goodness, my goodness. Saints, the book symbolizes God's knowledge of who belongs to him. Oh, that's right, that's right. Look, it's not just in the Old Testament. Let's go here to Hebrews. Look at this. In Hebrews 12:22, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Did you catch that, saints? To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Wow. Wow, my friends. Praise God. Look what it says in Revelations. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not, say this with me at home, I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him what? Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Wow, saints. Even Luke picked this up and wrote this down, which he heard Jesus speak. Look at this. In Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because what? Your names are written in heaven. Are you catching this, saints of God? Wow. Wow. Listen, we need to rejoice. You need to rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Praise God. Praise God. You know, in the background, I hear some sirens right now. That should be telling us a sense of urgency that Jesus is soon to return. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's go to verse 4 now in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice. Saints, Paul returned. He returned to writing to the church at large. Be a full joy and rejoice. Rejoice. Listen, you got to remember, all they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. So they could look back to look ahead. Just like we now can look back to look ahead. But I truly believe King David understood this concept. Let's look at this scripture right here. In Psalms 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is what? Beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this, saints. When you worship God every day, I hope, but when you come together in the unity of the faith, say like a Sunday morning service, and you're lifting up the name of Jesus, the Bible says what? Rejoice. Rejoice, because God calls us upright and beautiful. Praise God. Look at this scripture right here I found in Habakkuk 3:18. Yes, look at this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You see, saints, it seems strange that a man in prison would be telling a church to keep on rejoicing. But Paul's attitude teaches us an important lesson. Oh, yes, it does. Our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Did you catch that? That's right. That's right. Why? Because Paul was full of joy. Because he knew, saints of God, that no matter what happened to him, Jesus Christ was with him. And while believers often will encounter situations in which they cannot always be happy, they in turn can always rejoice and delight in the Lord. For there is a bigger picture regarding your life. Sometimes we look at the small little picture, but there's a bigger picture, and God's in it, both of them. And God will see us through. Can I get an amen? So let's go back now to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. You see, my friends, when Jesus rose again, and then he sent the Holy Spirit, the Lord is at hand. The Lord fills our every being. To the born-again believer, the believer that has repented of their sins, who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who has been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and now we are what? Heaven-bound. And there's a hell to shun. Praise God. Saints, joy isn't always visible to others, but acts toward others are readily seen. So Paul, he encouraged the Philippians to let everyone see that they were what? Considerate, kind. That's what they need to see. Listen, all the people that you know in your life, you've probably invited to church many times. And many of them will say, oh, you know what? You go. I'm glad you're going. You know, so here's the deal. They need to see Christ, the hope of glory, living inside you. Because they may never, ever come to a church service or to a Bible study. But guess what? They look at your life and they should see Jesus. You're the only one that can demonstrate the love of God, the grace of God to the unbelievers. So that's how God will use you mightily. That's how he's been using me and many of you. Let go and let God. And watch him do the miraculous. The miraculous. in your life, in my life. Saints of God, they should have a spirit that is reasonable, fair-minded, and charitable. Believers are motivated to joy and consideration of others by remembering that their Lord is coming soon. That's right. The promise of the Lord's second coming, it encourages the careful conduct by His followers. Oh, yes. Look at this, what it says right here in Hebrews. For yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and not tarry. Wow. Wow, I truly believe we're at the brink. We're at the brink of this, saints. Look at what it says in James 5:8. You also be what? Patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is what? At hand. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, Jesus is soon to come. So let's move on now to verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is where I got the message for tonight. Be anxious for nothing. For nothing. That's right. You see, saints, attitudes of joy and gentleness combined with constant awareness of Christ's return should dispel any worry. Believers should not set aside life's responsibilities so as not to worry about them. Paul was focusing on believers' attitude in daily life and as they faced opposition and persecution. Christians are to be responsible for their needs and their family needs and to care about, to be concerned for others. How many are doing that right now? That's right. And you keep on doing it. But the whole matter is that God doesn't want us to be worried. Why are we worrying about things that haven't even been brought to us? There's some people, they worry about tomorrow. They worry about next week. They worry about next month. God says, don't worry. Give everything to God. Your ambition, your passion, your revenge, your anger, give it all to God and watch Him. Watch Him sift it all out and then have you walk in the way that He would want you to walk, that you would experience the great joy from the throne room of grace. Oh, that's right, saints of God. That's right. Look at this one verse of Scripture found in Matthew right here. In Matthew 6, 33 through 34, here's the key. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? The one day that God gives us at a time, there's already issues there. And then you want to worry about tomorrow. We're not supposed to worry about those things. God will give us the grace to go through one day at a time. You see, saints, worrying is bad. Why? Because it's a subtle form of distrust in God. When believers worry, they are saying that they don't trust that God will provide, and that doubt that He cares or that He can handle their situation. I've heard that said many times through counseling sessions. You see, my friends, Paul offered prayer as an antidote to worry. Instead, saints of God, pray about everything. Prayer combats worry by allowing us, hallelujah, to go through the situations of life. Praise God. You see, we can offload our stress unto God. That's why the Word of God says, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me, and I will give you rest for your soul. That's what Jesus said. Paul said to take all the three energies that is used in worrying and put them into prayer. Can I get an amen? And this includes prayer about everything. No request is too small. It's not too difficult or inconsequential to God. God is concerned with every one of our matters. I hope you know that. Please, Give it to God. God will see you through. You see, Paul encouraged the believers to pray about what they would need and to be thankful to God for all that He has done. It may seem impossible not to worry about anything, but Paul, he explained that this can happen if believers truly give their worries to God. You see, saints of God, worry and prayer cannot coexist. It's no different than water and oil. You can shake it up, but let it settle. You know what comes to the top. They can't coexist together. And so what are you worried about? What's your worry about tonight? Listen, all I know is what the Word of God says, that Jesus is the great I Am. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the Bishop and Lover of our soul. Jesus is the one that came seeking after you and I. Jesus is the one that found us right when we were in our muck and mire. Jesus found us, and He saved us. He set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God delivered me from drugs and alcohol and all manner of iniquity. And I'm here to let people know that what He's done for me, He can do for you. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. God is the one that'll raise up the dead. God is the one that'll give us sight to our blind eyes. He will give us ears to hear with our deaf ears. He will even empower you to speak the things of God without any shame. For Paul said it best, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews, then to us Gentiles. Praise God, praise God. Let's move on to verse 7. We got two more verses to break down. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through what? Through Christ Jesus. Praise God. It's all through Christ Jesus. It's all through the Lord, saints. Listen, if the Philippians would take to heart Paul's words back then they would turn. They would turn. I want you to catch. I want you to see that. Everything is through what? Christ. Through Christ Jesus. Praise God. It's all there, saints of God. It's all there. And God is wanting us to turn. Turn. Turn to the Lord. Turn from anxiety. And turn it to prayer. And be filled with God's peace. Can I get an amen? Saints, this peace is different from the world's peace. It is peace that Jesus promised His disciples and all those who would follow Him. You see, my friends, true peace is not found in positive thinking, in absence of conflict, or in good feelings. It comes from the knowing that God is in total control of one's life. Praise God, praise God. Look what was written in the book of John. Let's go here real quick. In John 14, 27, Jesus said it best, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. We have to take comfort in that, saints. Believers are given peace with God when they believe and they have this inner quiet of peace of God as they daily walk with Him. Look what it says. Paul wrote in Romans right here. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's not about this kind of peace. It's not peace, love, Bobby Sherman. Oh, can't we get along? No. Is that when we come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have peace with God our Maker. You see, before we got saved, we were rebels. We were rebellious people. God was not in our hearts and our mind at all. But when He quickened us, He made us come alive unto Him. He gave us a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. He allowed us to come and receive the grace of God, the mercy of God, to embrace the cross. and to let every man and woman and child know that Jesus can do the same of what He's done in our life, that He could do it in their life. Oh, that's right. I'm convinced these past 33 years, it's been a joy serving the Lord. It's been a joy preaching and teaching. It's been a joy to watch others get saved. It's been a joy for me to watch them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and transform their life from darkness into His marvelous light. I've seen this with my own eyes. I've seen men and women who just grew up in the Lord and now are serving the Lord with their whole heart, soul, and mind. That's what it's all about. When God can use you for such a time as this, that you would yield yourself to the Spirit of God and that you would say every morning when you wake up, "Oh God, use me. Use me this day." When you start crying out in ways like that, God will use you supernaturally. He will place people in divine order in the place that you would have never thought. And it'll be a divine meeting, a divine appointment with God. And you'll have been privileged to be used by the Master's heart, the heart of God, that you would share Jesus, the hope of glory, to all those who need Him. You see, saints, God's peace is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And such peace cannot be self-generated. It comes from God alone. It is His gift to us in a difficult world. Yes, it is. It's very difficult, saints of God. And with so much of God's dealings with humanity, we cannot understand it. But we can accept and experience God's peace because of His great love for us. Praise God. Praise God. So now, saints of God, as we come in for a close, this is the final verse we're going to break down, found in Philippians chapter 4. And it goes just like this. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Paul laid it out. He laid out the blueprint. There's nothing for us to do but receive it and accept it and now apply it and walk in the ways of God. Saints, if one is to have this inner peace from God and maintain a free life of worry, then certain steps must be taken, notably in his or her thought life. That's right. The battle's in the mind. And this list describes what should pervade believers' minds. Believers should fix their thoughts on things that is laid out in Scripture. And here they are. Let's go here right now. Let's look at this. Let's break down this verse right here. Let's look at this. Number one, true. Truth becomes facts and statements that are in accordance with reality. Not lies, rumors, or embellishments. Sincere, not deceitful or with evil motives. And loyal, faithful, proper, reliable, and genuine. Truth is a characteristic of God. Can I get an amen in the house on that one? Let's look at number two. Honorable. These matters are worthy of respect. Praise God. Praise God. Dignified and exalted in character or excellence. This is what I truly believe we can all obtain through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at number three. Right. Thoughts and plans that meet God's standards of rightness. They are in keeping with the truth. They are righteous. There's a difference of being right with God than to be self-righteous. That's right. Being right with God, meaning we read God's word, we say yes and amen, then we ask God to help us walk in His ways. Self-righteous is, "I got it covered. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, don't worry. I got it handled." Those are the people that usually fall out of grace and are back in the world quickly. Oh yeah, why? Because they're Mr. and Mrs. Know-it-all. No, humble yourself at the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Let's look at these other ones right here. Look at number 4, pure, free from contamination or blemish, unmixed and unmodified, wholesome. Paul probably was speaking of moral purity, often very difficult to maintain in thoughts. It is. It is so difficult. Every morning, God, cleanse me, wash me before I go to bed. Help me, God. Get these thoughts out of my mind. Why? Because we still live in this sinful body, unfortunately. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Look at this. Lovely. Thoughts of great moral and spiritual beauty, not of evil. Not of evil. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this 6th point right here. Admirable. Things that speak well of the thinker. Thoughts that recommend, that give confidence in, afford approval or praise, reveal positive and constructive thinking. A believer's thoughts, if heard by others, should be admirable, not embarrassing. Praise God. Praise God. Look at number 7. Excellent. Moral excellence. Nothing of substandard quality. Praise God. Praise God. That's what God is looking for you and I to walk in, saints. And then look at this one. Excellent. Moral excellence. Nothing of the substandard quality. And look at number 8. Worthy of praise. Hallelujah. This phrase may be restated as anything that deserves the thinker's praise, or anything that God deems what? Praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. Praise God. Praise God. Don't we serve a mighty God, saints? That's right. We do. We do. And see, this message is to help us grow. This message tonight is to help us understand that God is in total control and He's looking for you and I. The baton was passed to us. Now we're running to finish the race. There is a finish line, and it's just right ahead. God is saying, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Continue to follow my ways. Continue to serve me and exalt me, because it's almost over. How many believe that Jesus is soon to come? Oh, that's right. Yes, He is. You may be logged in for the first time and are saying, what do you mean He's coming? Yes. Jesus pointed out that we're living in the last days. He said in the days we would see this generation that we're living in, every prophetic thing He said is now converging. And we're seeing it right before our eyes. We're seeing the pandemics, which is pestilences. We're seeing the famines. We're seeing the inflation around the world, where there are now nations that are starving. Oh, that's right. Matter of fact, your gas next week may be $7. Some say it'll be $10 by the time summer's over. What? Oh, yes. We're living in the times that Jesus said we would see false teachers, the prosperity gospel, that people would be deceived. Oh, yes. He said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. There's a war going on right before our eyes, right now, in Ukraine. And this administration, you need to pray for. Because anything that could be said to trigger a World War III, it won't be missiles of conventional kind of warfare. It'll become nuclear. And no one wants to see that fall on any city, anywhere in the world. Jesus is coming again. And He's coming for His church. He's coming for His bride. And those of us who have been born again, we are looking now for His return. Because He's coming very soon. And this is what Paul wrote. Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, say that with me at home, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort, comfort, comfort one another with these words. Oh, that's right. Saints, the greatest, most spectacular thing that's about ready to take place is when He comes for us. The rest who are left behind, they already got it figured out. The aliens came and got them. No, Jesus came and got us. And then the wrath will be poured out. And so what has to take place is He has to immediately change these bodies of flesh. Why? Because we're confined to the law of gravity here on this earth. Flesh and blood cannot go into heaven. We cannot go in this body. It's got to be a brand new body. One that's not diseased. One that will never grow old. One that will live forever. How many can't wait for that day to come? And I've got proof if you're just watching right now for the first time. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54, it says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, as I just mentioned, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow. We're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be gone, saints of God. Now, if you're watching for the very first time and you want to know what's this rapture thing all about, well, I'm going to show you just a short little clip that you need to give your life to Jesus. Because if you don't, this could happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
That's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to give your heart to Jesus? You see, this dramatization was just basically simply said and put in place that there are going to be some left behind in the church. They were never really born again. They never were repenting or repented of their sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb. None of them ever been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. But I have good news. Yes, I do. I got great news. The Apostle Peter preached his very first sermon. And from that day on, the church, the ecclesia, the birth of the church began. And 2,000 years later, souls are still being saved. But it's about ready to come for a close. Curtain call. The curtain call is going to take place, and Jesus is going to come. and take his bride home. And so here's the key for you, my friends. If you're watching for the very first time, I want you to see this key scripture right here, found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." That means forgiveness of your sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Wow, my friends. Isn't that exciting? Huh? Isn't that exciting to know that you have an opportunity to give your heart to Christ like we have, and that God would save you? Just cry out to Him. If you never ask God to come into your life, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, that I may pray for you, that you would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Someone just gave their heart to Jesus. Listen, if that's you, down below is our website. Is our website. Log on. Our email, our phone number is there. Reach out to us because we want to reach out to you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to point you and direct you to a church that will teach the Word of God, that will honor the truth. I call it the unadulterated Word of God. And so thank you. Thank you. And I also want to thank all those who continue to support our ministry. You've all been a blessing. Down below, you'll see our banner right there. Donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time for me to sign off. And I want to leave you the benediction and also remind you that this Sunday, we start back to our regular time at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. So jot that down. I don't want you to come and miss worship if you come at 10:30. Come, it starts at 10 now. And we're going to have a blessed time this Sunday. Can I get an amen? So allow me to send the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I want to just say we love you. God bless you. We'll see you this Sunday at 10 o'clock. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.